Section 3. Key changes to the EU regulations from the 1st of May 2010. Revised EU regulation number 883/2004 came into effect from the 1st of May 2010. It is intended to make things simpler and more transparent. The key changes are that the old certificate of coverage, the form E101, has been replaced by the new form A1, and the old E106 has been replaced by the S1. E101 certificates of coverage that were obtained before the 1st of May 2010 will remain valid until their expiry date, if indeed they have one. Some E101 certificates were issued for multi-state working and did not have an expiry date. A director of one of my clients works mainly in the UK, but also visits Portugal from time to time, and indeed Germany. He was asked to provide a certificate of coverage by the Portuguese authorities, and I obtained one from HMRC Centre for Non-Residents in Newcastle. That certificate had no expiry date. Within the EEA, an E101 would often be obtained for a short-term secondment not exceeding 12 months. And then if the secondment was extended, an E102 certificate would be required, and this would have to be obtained from the host country, for example, France or Belgium, if a UK employee was seconded there. This was a requirement to extend the period of coverage for another 12 months, and often there were delays and sometimes a lot of hassle in obtaining this. Under the new regulations, an A1 could be obtained initially for up to 2 years, which will save a lot of time and hassle, and importantly, the UK employer will obtain that certificate from the UK authorities. The old Article 17 principle still applies, although it is now called Article 16, where an application can be made to obtain an A1 certificate of coverage for up to 5 years. However, we need to be warned that the rules have been tightened up. The old regulation 1408/71, which has been replaced, does still apply to the EEA country Switzerland and to third country nationals. For example, someone from a third party country like Israel who is working and moving cross-border within the EEA. There are currently no special provisions for transport workers, but it is thought that this could be included again in the not-too-distant future. It is expected that there will be more guidance, perhaps EU Posting Guidance Part 2, that will come out early in 2011. There are some special cases, including commuters and home workers. A commuter, for example, someone who lives in the UK but actually works in Belgium or France from Monday to Friday, would ordinarily pay national insurance contributions or social charges in the country of their employment, say in Belgium or France. Unless they were a multi-state employee who works in both the UK and Belgium and or France. A home worker is a person who can work from anywhere and chooses to live in a certain country. The EU regulations specifically cover the situation of multi-state workers, although reciprocal agreement countries don't deal with this situation. Under the EU rules, the employee should pay national insurance contributions to the country of residence if at least 25% of the work activity is there, or 25% of the earnings relate to the country of residence. Otherwise, national insurance contributions or social charges should be paid to the country where the employer is located. For example, an employee working for a UK company and is paid through the UK payroll. He or she lives in Belgium or France, where he or she works from home on a Monday and Friday, and works in the UK from Tuesday to Thursday. National insurance contributions or social charges are payable to the Belgium or French authorities because more than 25% of the time is spent in that country. However, if he or she works in the UK Monday to Thursday and returns home on Thursday night to work at home on Friday, national insurance contributions are due to be paid to the UK as less than 25% of the work is undertaken in Belgium or France. The location of the employer then becomes the determining factor.